This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Pete Dillon.
Hello, Serena. It's cold.
It is pretty cold. It's a smidge after 11. You're listening to Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9. It's been some of the coldest days in winter in 17 years in lovely Melbourne town.
I was saying to somebody the other day, I've been back home for about 8 years, and I swear this is the coldest winter I've felt. And they went, oh, it's winter every year, you clown. And I'm like, it just seems cold. And I looked at the forecast this week, 13, 13, 13, 13. I'm going to have a heat wave on Friday. It's going to be 14.
Oh, hold me back, love. I'll be out in my togs. Look, it's quite bleak in Melbourne, but, you know, this is winter, I guess. It's my last winter in Melbourne, which is pretty spectacular.
Yes. Well, we're going to talk to Noni a bit later when she comes in about winter, I think.
We are.
Because it's a good subject for Noni, and she's got some thoughts on it.
She does have some thoughts, and she'll be joining us just, you know, coming up to half past. Mm. And we're interviewing Jenny Macklin tonight.
Yes, the Federal Minister for Family and Community Services. There was a piece of legislation that's passed through the Federal Parliament around paid parental leave for same-sex parents, which is fantastic news. So we're going to have a bit of a chat to her about that and what that all looks like.
Lots of international news tonight as well. We have the news about Anderson Cooper, a CNN reporter, host, who's finally confirmed his sexuality.
Yes, one of the worst-kept secrets in the US.
Absolutely. Media, and I guess when we talk about that later in the show, I kind of want to talk about what that means or, you know, what it doesn't mean. It's just interesting when celebs do this and, you know, what the traction is there. So let's.
I have always fancied him. He's a bit of a silver fox. He's got beautiful silver white hair.
Really?
He's very, very handsome.
He is. He's not a bad-looking lad.
I've always had a bit of the hots for
Anderson. Have you?
Oh, I have, yes. I have to put my hand in my heart and admit that one.
Oh, okay. Well, there's other international news we'll cover as well. So we're looking at some cruise ship stuff.
Oh, yes, we like a gay
cruise. An unfortunate shooting in Texas of some young lesbian girls. And just bits and bobs, really. It's a bit of a jam-packed show. So we kick off with a tune.
We should. I was going to say just before we moved into Shall We Have a Tune and Do the Right Thing that my sport obsession is keeping me up all night. Wimbledon's on, the tour's on, and I'll just get through all of that and the Olympics will start.
I'm dying for the Olympics.
I'm becoming a bit of a night person.
And a little bit of a sporty spice.
But my body clock wakes me up at 7 o'clock in the morning, so I'm finding it difficult.
Oh, well, soldier on, love.
Yes, I will.
Soldier on.
This track we're going to listen to is by a very new Australian band. They've just released their first EP. They're called Blue Sun. The EP is called We Are Blue Sun, and this is called Locked in a Cage. It's very, very lovely.
Joy 94.9.
I really liked that song, Pete. That was Locked in a Cage by Blue Sun. Up-and-coming band. Are they Melbourne-based?
They are Melbourne-based, and they're very good boys, four of them. I like them.
Oh, watch this space. Hey, should we get into the national news?
Let's, because we've got lots to do.
Good-o. So here we are.
Here we are. And we're back. We didn't
and
go
we're
far.
Back. Oh, look, you know, it's interesting. Coming back this week after last week's show, which was a bit of a, I wouldn't say a dog's breakfast, but it was so Salvo's focused.
We're sort of back to normal.
We
almost,
are back to
we?
Normal. Mm. And it's probably good to update people that news item is still percolating away.
Yes.
It's still, we're still receiving some really great feedback and some wonderful emails, and we do need to thank people for their tweets and emails.
Occasional abuse as well.
We are getting a bit of hate mail. Got some great advice from Karen Phelps telling me to play it with a straight bat.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me some very solid advice. And that's certainly the way we're playing it. And we certainly encourage people to email us at saltandpepper@joy.org.au or send us a tweet, saltandpepperjoy, on Twitter. So keep it coming in and, we'll keep you posted.
Because we've got some interesting news. And one of the first pieces we wanted to look at, former Liberal Premier of New South Wales, Nick Greiner, has revealed his daughter is in a long-standing same-sex relationship and called on party leader Tony Abbott to allow a fair conscience vote on marriage equality.
That's very interesting. He's been a Liberal member for 40 years and he prides his membership on the Liberal Party being the party of individual freedom. And, it's a party that
believes
in conscience votes. Mm. And we've always maintained here at Salt and Pepper that every vote is a conscience vote. So he's coming out saying that he's got a history as a Conservative leader of New South Wales when he served as Premier between 88 and 92.
Mm-hmm.
But having a close member coming out repositions the thinking around more progressive social issues. And he's now, he's calling Abbott, you know, he's calling Abbott out on this conscience vote silliness. So he's saying, I have a family member, a daughter who's in a gay marriage or a gay relationship, so I have to, you know, I have to admit that I'm biased, but the notion of not giving people a conscience vote on what is quintessentially a conscience vote issue is just bizarre.
It is.
Bold move.
Yeah, it is bold.
Him,
and look, he's one of those sort of older gentlemen of the New South Wales Liberal Party. He's actually a nice guy. His wife, Catherine, has been on the Sydney City Council for some years and herself has a political career as well. So it's good to see.
On them. It's really nice to see, actually, because if we follow that on, because we know that Tony's got a gay sister, there is some speculation around
some
what
talk.
Her political aspirations are.
Well, she could challenge Clover Moore for the job as the Lord Mayor of Sydney. Liberal Party sources are claiming that. The Wentworth Courier reported last week that Forster was in the running for pre-selection as the Liberal Party's candidate for the Lord Mayoralship of Sydney, which I think is great.
I think it is great. Mm. I think Clover Moore has got a very mixed popularity rating.
Well, she does. And Clover has been known, it has been said about Clover or alleged about Clover in the past that she uses the gay community in Sydney to her own end, particularly as she's been a state member of parliament, which she currently is, and also holds the Lord Mayoralship. And I think the people of the seat of Sydney are probably getting a bit frustrated that
sort of a
that
political
there is,
hag.
Well,
really.
Yeah, she is, and has always, while she has said she's a strong supporter of the community and has demonstrated that in some ways in the past, it has been alleged that she uses the gay community to her own end.
What I find really interesting here is that Christine Forster is allegedly looking for pre-selection as a Liberal Party candidate.
Mm.
And, you know, there's been some commentary around that she could be a huge candidate for us and certainly show what a broad church the Liberal Party really is. I think that's something of an oxymoron, really. I think it's very interesting to me that she would position herself within the Liberal ranks, taking away the family component when... Yeah, I just find that peculiar. But she's never really come out sort of, you know, staunchly in favour or against of same-sex marriage anyway, I don't think.
No.
I just think it's a really interesting position. I think she might have had some other options.
There was a piece in the Weekend Australian back in April where she did actually say that she declared her support for marriage equality and it would be nice if she could just convince her brother that it is the right thing to do and be on the right side of history.
Well, she's certainly on the record saying that there's been some very robust family debate.
Mm-hmm.
And
wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall at the Abbott family gatherings? I only call them the Adams family. The Abbott family gatherings when there's
Because you've got Tony, who's such a right-winger and he's a bit of a God-botherer. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what her religious persuasion is, but certainly her sexuality is on the record now. And yep, she's got some support there, but... I wonder in her capacity as the mayor and in her pre-selection process and her lobbying, what will be her position?
Mm.
That's for me is the bigger issue. I know she's colloquially known to support it, but what does it mean if she actually enters the realm?
Yeah, look, it's going to be interesting. We're very soon to talk to Jenny Macklin, and the reason we're speaking to Jenny, she is the Federal Minister for Family and Community Affairs. She'll be joining us any minute on the phone. Legislation has passed through the federal parliament just this week, which extends the government's paid parental leave scheme to include dads and same-sex partners, which is just fantastic. It was only passed a day or two ago. It's the paid parental leave and other legislation amendment in brackets, dad and partner pay and other measures bill of 2012.
It's quite a mouthful, really.
It
isn't
is
it?
Quite a long title. It'll come into effect from January 1, 2013. And we're very pleased to have joining us right now on the phone the Federal Minister for Family and Community Services and Indigenous Affairs. She's a delightful woman, member for Jaga Jaga. She's Jenny Macklin. Good evening, Jenny.
Good to be with you.
Hi, Jenny. Thanks for joining us so late in the evening.
No problem.
Look, walk us through this. This is a really great coup for the gay community around the government extending paid parental leave to same-sex communities. Talk us through how this got through.
Well, we have always wanted to make sure that both paid parental leave, which largely gets paid to mums, is also available to same-sex partners, and we're extending paid parental leave to dads and making sure that dad's pay is available to partners as well. So dad and partner pay will start on the 1st of January next year, and it will mean a dedicated payment to give dads and same-sex partners financial support to stay at home for 2 weeks with their newborn baby. So it is a very good move.
So dads who are entering into either altruistic surrogacy arrangements that in those states where it's legal, or perhaps those same-sex dads who are going through surrogacy internationally, they will be able to take 2 weeks collective. So both dads can take 2 weeks off under this paid parental scheme.
Where they are the partner taking care of the baby, that's right.
Okay, because it's such an important time in the first couple of weeks of a child's life to have that bonding time with a parent.
That's exactly right, and that's really... You've really hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what this is all about. It is. I find it quite hard to understand why it's taken us so long. Really, we all understand just how critical those early times are between parents and their newborn baby, and so this is a way of making sure that dads and partners can share in that special time. We also know that there's lots of dads and partners who are working in casual or part-time jobs where they don't get any employer payment to be off work during that time, and so this will mean that for those people who work in those sort of jobs, they'll get $606 a week before tax, so that's the same as the national minimum wage.
I mean, I think that's fantastic news, and it shows social progression and inclusion at its best. Jenny, I do have one question for you. In the current parental leave as it stands for, I guess, for want of a better word, the heterosexual couples, what's the time frame that's paid for those couples? Is there parity here?
Well, of course, it doesn't have to just be for a heterosexual couple. So if mum and her female partner had a baby, then the mum would get 18 weeks pay at the federal minimum wage. There's the same means test applies to dad and partner pay as applies to paid parental leave. So the way that works is that... whoever's getting the additional assistance from the government has to be working for around a day a week for the 10 months before the baby's born. So, and there's also an income test, so they have to have earned $150,000 or less. So the same income test rules apply, the same work rules apply, and of course, if it's mum and a same-sex partner who get the paid parental leave for 18 weeks, that's fine, that's payable, and the same, of course, applies for dad and partner pay.
Jenny, this is another very, very positive step on the road to full equality for same-sex couples here in Australia.
It is, and it's. I think it is very important to recognise that we have same-sex couples who want to be parents, who are parents, and we want to be able to make sure we provide support to them and to their newborn babies, just like everybody else.
I want to take a slightly different tack now with that question, and you've declared your position on marriage equality.
I have.
And is it frustrating sitting across the chamber from a bunch of men and women who aren't allowed to exercise what is on their conscience?
It's actually surprising, I have to say, because the Liberal Party say regularly that they... are allowed to vote according to their conscience more than Labor people are in general. So I am pleased that we decided at our national conference last year that we would allow each and every one of us to vote according to our conscience. And I think there will be quite a number of Labor members of Parliament who will decide to support marriage equality. And I do think that there would be Liberal members who would support it if they had the freedom to do so. So I think it's... I still hope that the Liberals will change and that they will be allowed to follow their conscience.
So do we. Look, Jenny Macklin...
I have no doubt you'll be campaigning for that to happen.
Of course.
We will. We'll be out there with all our streamers. Look, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We do appreciate your time and updating us on this wonderful new development that kicks off on the 1st of January in 2013, which is wonderful news. Congratulations.
We
do thank you for joining us.
And thanks for your continued support.
No problem.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye. It's
Jenny Mac.
It's really good news, isn't it?
Yes, it is very good news. And it's nice to be able to sort of get the government's position on this and when they pass legislation rather than sort of having just our own thoughts.
It's just another thing that chips away at the very loosely formulated argument against same-sex marriage and equal rights. It's another win for equal rights, which is obviously my passion. Mm. Less of a win is the surrogacy stuff that's being reversed back
in Queensland.
Mm. So, look, what we know is that there was a community meeting was held in Brisbane last night to help kick off a campaign to stop the changes,
mm-hmm.
Which is going to be criminalising gay surrogacy arrangements. So with the not-profit association Surrogacy Australia, who are alarmed by the Queensland government's proposed amendments to the Surrogacy Acts to deny same-sex couples, singles and heterosexual de facto couples of less than 2 years. It's criminalising up to 3 years jail any same-sex couples or singles who seek to be parents through an altruistic, i.e. non-commercial surrogacy arrangement. Look, we've spoken to Paul Martin before, who's a gay and lesbian psychologist and community advocate, and he believes, and I think this probably encapsulates our feelings as well, that taking away existing rights to a stigmatised minority will lead to increased levels of psychological stress for adults and their children. You know, 25% of same-sex couples are currently raising children and their families need protection from further stigmatisation. It's on the money.
Yeah, but again, this is classic Campbell Newman. He claimed before the election that surrogacy laws would not be tampered with.
That's another lie.
It is another lie. Attorney General Jared Blair, he said shortly after the announcement of reforms last week that Newman hadn't been properly briefed on the plans. Who's running the state, the Attorney General or, in fact, the Premier? It's just a disgrace, and they are dragging Queensland kicking and screaming back into the dark ages. And
it's just terrible as well news for, you know, heterosexual couples in arrangements
and singles.
Absolutely. You know, again, this is a rights issue. It's like the Queenslanders going back to the 50s.
It is.
Hello, this is Alison Moyer. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Indeed, you are listening to Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9. It's about
smidge.
I don't know, quarter past thereabouts after 20-ish after 11.
It's very dark in here. It is very good to talk to Jenny Macklin. She's she's been a long time supporter of our community and our quest for equal rights. She's a good egg.
She is a good egg.
Also, some very good news for our Arab folk in Melbourne.
Yeah, look, there's a new group started, and I did try and get an interview this afternoon. See if we can get a bit of a chat to the guy who heads this up, and we might do this next week. In fact. A new group has been set up for Arabic-speaking gays and lesbians. It's called Halem Melbourne, and it was established in early June as a safe space for same-sex attracted people from Middle East communities. And we're aware that people from Middle Eastern backgrounds quite often suffer incredible homophobia from their own families and their own communities, especially if they do make a very brave decision to come out. And I think it's braver than those of us that are in families that where that threat isn't as severe.
I think this is a really interesting development off the back of the commentary in the Herald Sun in relation to the Salvos incident only at the beginning of last week, where a Muslim imam came forward and said, there are no gay people in our community. I'm not saying that everybody in this group will be of the Muslim faith, but
Correct.
There'll be a portion in there
absolutely,
who identify as having a Muslim belief system and identify as same-sex attracted. So this clearly confirms that there needs to be more support for Middle Eastern communities in Melbourne.
Right, absolutely.
And I think Halem is a wonderful opportunity for same-sex attracted folk to really link in with some support.
Now, the guy who heads this up, his name is George Nima. He said, you know, I can't tell my parents that I'm gay. In the Middle East, gay means there's something wrong and no one can accept it. He's Lebanese, of Lebanese background. He said being gay is against the law in Lebanon, and if you're gay and you're caught, you can go to jail. I think this is a really positive move that there is a safe and inclusive space for those people from Arab-speaking backgrounds to be able to to support one another through whatever processes they're going through in their coming out, or in fact in their remaining sort of in a very closeted state.
Where they can find this group is on Facebook. So yep. facebook.com/Hallem.Melbourne. We'll tweet that later tonight. And we do encourage you to log on and get the support that you need and, you know, make some new friends.
Yes, indeed. Now, interesting that some news out from the census started dribbling out last week. Around same-sex couples, where they live, what they do. It's interesting. What I would like to see from the census, and I don't know how it can be done, but I would like to see taking the couple issue out of it and just look at same-sex individuals, because there's a lot of same-sex individuals who have a logical rather than a biological family, who are living in either shared situations or, in fact, who are raising children on their own, whether they be male or female. So Some really interesting stats coming out of the census, which sort of debunks a lot of what the Australian Christian lobby would have us believe.
What's really interesting is that 4 in 10 same-sex attracted people identified as having a Christian belief system, which is really interesting. It was 21% of non-same-sex people in this census had no religion at all. Same-sex partners were more likely to be affiliated with Buddhism and less likely to be affiliated with Hinduism or Islam. It's really interesting. It's such a lovely sort of rainbow spectrum of beliefs, and I just think it's wonderful that same-sex couples. I think this is a huge, same-sex people actually, huge move forward for census, and I think that they'll continue to add to this database of questions for your logicals.
Yep.
Over time, I think it's same-sex couples are now accounting for just under 1% of couples in Australia. So again, the definition of a relationship can sometimes be variable. So
absolutely,
I think it's the greater willingness of people to identify as same-sex is also a huge win.
Absolutely, it is. Also is moving premises. They've been here in Melbourne City Village.
They've been in our building for a long time.
Yeah, just exactly here where Joy is for a number of years, 4 years in fact. And they're moving to their Collingwood
op shop.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on Smith Street.
And to save a bit of money, because as we've discussed previously on this program, also finances are considered in somewhat of a parlous state, to be fair. So they're going to the op shop. They have been here in the village for 4 years. They said it's been a wonderful community resource, and they're really pleased that so many organisations, including Joy, have been able to use it as a hub for their own activities. Melbourne Queer Film is here. Minus 18 is here. So yes, we'll miss our neighbours.
Wish them well.
Yeah, indeed.
Someone else we also wish very well is former Australian Democrat Senator Brian Gregg.
Mm.
He's in the running to take over as the national president of the party, and he will be running against the national incumbent president, Darren Churchill. So, look, Gregg's well known for speaking out on gay and lesbian issues, and he was the first federal politician to come out, doing so in his maiden speech to Parliament in 1998. It was a very different political picture back
absolutely.
Then. Terribly
he's
brave.
He's one of your mob as well.
He's from WA. He held a seat in the Senate for 7 years, eventually losing in 2004 to the Greens' Rachel Seward. So look, 10 candidates have been nominated for the deputy position. Some are throwing support behind Gregg as the party's best chance to secure a Senate seat at the next Fed election. We know that, you know, all ballots are due back by 10 p.m. on July the 14th, and we wish him the very best of luck, because we know that he's of the faith, he's one of us, and he's a big proponent of equal rights. So
he is indeed. So we do wish him
luck. We do wish him the very best.
Look, we might have to, guess who's here?
Is it Noni?
It is indeed.
Fantastic. She's all rugged up. Let's get her in.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay.
Hello, this is Noni Hazelhurst. You're listening to Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Noni Hazelhurst right now.
She's here in the studio.
I am. Hello.
Hello.
She's just arrived. I made a little comment about your coat on as you arrived. Do you want to share that? Because I got slapped for that one.
Yes.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, rightly so. She said, oh, you're still wearing that.
I really like it. I love Noni's
style.
She thought
I would have put it away by now. Put it down by now.
It's just so lovely.
Thanks. Yeah, crawl out of that one.
Yeah, she's trying to dig her way out, I think. No.
Yes.
I think she's.
Oh, look, you know, but it's a lovely coats. it's a lovely winter coat. Yes. And
I think a good coat is a good investment. I have an Angora coat that I bought, paid a ridiculous amount of money for a number of years ago, but it still looks as fresh and smells as fresh as the day I bought
it. See, I have I've yet to establish a relationship with a winter coat that I'm happy with.
Oh, I love
it. I'm going through some issues at the moment. Noni's just pulled a hair either out of my mouth or out of my microphone.
Thanks, hoping it's love. Out of the microphone.
Slightly distracted.
So you haven't made a relationship with a coat?
No, I have a range of coats that I trawl out in the winter.
Mm.
But I have an ample bosom, so it's always
a nice rack.
I've got a bloody good rack, for the record.
A continental shelf.
I've got it. Oh, look, it's coming at you like Cleopatra, love. But yes, I'm yet to identify the winter coat that makes me feel good about winter.
Well, this is one of the things we wanted to talk about, and the seasons are having a particular effect. I think this is the coldest winter or the most miserable winter. We're only at the end of June, that I've seen in Melbourne in a number of years. There seems to be, it's back to a real winter where it's wet and it's cold and we require scarves. I bought thermals the other day. Well, our winters have been quite temperate in the last few years.
Well, I've been here for 4 years and this is my last winter in Melbourne, and I find each winter worse than the last.
I bought some thermal long johns in there. A more comfortable garment has never been made, I've got to give you that.
Well, I haven't bought the long johns yet, but I do really struggle with the cold. And yes, I can put some of that on, you know, having, you know, been a West Australian, but I've lived in London and I've lived in America and I've been in New York, and when it's below 50 or minus whatever. 50 or whatever. I have frozen my tits off on a number of continents.
Clearly not.
Well, no, the girls are good. But I just struggle with the winter, you know. It's interesting. I just become a different person.
I love cold weather.
Do you?
I love it.
What is it about the cold that you like? Is it the snuggling up under a doona? We were talking just
hot
before we started about your cat.
Hot water bottles, really?
I'm a big hot water bottle person.
Do you have a nice fluffy cover that goes over the hot water bottle?
No.
Is it from the Geelong Football Club or something?
No. I just go straight to the skin.
Really?
Yeah, love it.
I can't handle if there's a crumb in the bed, let alone a bottle full of
that's
hot water.
That's not what I've heard.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I just
she's
no.
On fire
it's not necessarily in the bed with me. I have it behind my back when I'm on the computer. I have little bottles to cuddle. But I like cold weather. I never have not liked it. I lived in the Blue Mountains for about 20 years on and off. And the colder the better.
What's your position on the electric blanket?
Don't like them.
Love them. I've got a queen size one. Remote controls on either side, so everybody's happy. I have the central heating up at 947 degrees. You know, the dog basically sleeps around my neck at any opportunity, so I cannot be cold for anyone.
I don't turn the heating on unless it's about 4 degrees.
I turned it on a couple of nights ago when it was 2 degrees overnight. I don't actually have it on overnight because I actually do get too hot.
Yeah, I've got to turn it off.
I like to warm the house because I have a two-story house as well.
Yep.
The top story gets absolutely boiling.
Yeah.
But I find if I have the electric blanket on, I'm a much nicer person when I'm warm.
Okay.
I did see something the other day, and I thought of you, Serena Ryan, that it's a through for your car.
Yes.
That is plug-in electric, so you can actually sit with.
God, I would love one.
A heated throw on your couch, so you can sort of sit there and keep it over your tooties. Do you wear slippers in the house?
I do.
Environmentally,
I do. I have an assortment of warm footwear, and
mostly made from what were former animals.
I have some UGG boots that are awesome, and they've got this amazing sock that goes over them as a little accessory. I've got some slippers that have got ears on them because they're just awesome.
So why don't you like winter with all this wardrobe?
Because it makes me miserable. I hate the fact that the sun doesn't get up until 7:30, and if I have a really long day shooting and I'm out of the house when it's dark and I leave the location when it's dark, I don't see the sun.
So you don't get your vitamin D.
I don't get my vitamin D, and it affects my mood.
A bit of the sad, is that what it's called?
I get a little bit of the sads, you know, and I have to make sure I eat really well and I take lots of vitamins and I get a good amount of sleep, and I have to get outside and make sure I see the sun but there's not a lot of that in Melbourne.
But if you've lived in London, it gets dark at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in winter.
Yeah, but back then I was, you know, 18 to 23 years of age.
She's out all night. Didn't need to see the sun.
And I was much less of a curmudgeon back then.
Right.
You know, but now, you know, as a woman of a certain age, I am a bit.
As the years drift.
You've got a few more on me, by the way. But as the years drift.
So what is it about winter that you only find comforting? For me, I love food in winter.
Roast dinners.
Roast dinners, anything that can go in the slow cooker all day.
Slow cookers, yeah, soups, red wine.
Oh, well, yes.
You know, I just like, I don't know, I'm not a hot weather person. I don't, unless I'm doing nothing except lying by a pool.
Yes, so you don't care for the heat?
No, not if I have to work through it, no. Mm. I can holiday in heat, but I'm not good at working.
So you need to, do you care for the heat to work in?
Love it.
How are you with the air conditioning? Do you...
Look, I don't believe in sweating my box off unnecessarily.
I'm glad you had it unnecessarily.
Yeah, we've gone from your boobs to your box.
We have,
with
yes.
Slight adjustment.
Yes, there we go, just the geographical shift. look, I thrive in hot weather, and in fact, I thrive in humid weather, and I love the humidity because my parents lived in Bali for the last 30 or so years, and I've been up there such a great deal. I have no trouble sleeping in hot weather. I don't need the aircon overnight. I quite often just have the door open and the window open and perhaps a little fan. I have no trouble functioning in hot weather at all.
Okay.
How do people live in Darwin, though, where it's 33 every day? My sister
wouldn't bother me.
One of my sisters lives in Darwin, and I was up there over Christmas, and she said, come on, we'll go for a ride on the bike.
No.
11:30 in the morning, 30 k's later.
That's mad.
Sun's
that
mad. You see, I wouldn't do that.
I thought I was going to really suffer that, but I was fine. I did have a bit of...
jock rash?
No, in the thigh. I was a bit sore in the thigh because I was using a different set of muscles than I do to mince. But it was I thought that I'd be near death. And I've lived in the tropics a number of times, so I find I acclimatise very, very quickly.
I'm very sensible about the heat. I know my body's limitations. So growing up in WA, we never went out in the summer when I was a kid between midday and 3 p.m. because that's when the sun's at its
hottest.
We
were sent out at 8 o'clock in the morning with 60 cents.
Yeah, but Irish kids with blonde hair and blue eyes and fair skin, it's just, you know, so I'm smart about it, but the heat doesn't wear me out the way the cold does.
Okay. See, I don't...
I do like the cuisine, though, of the winter.
Yes. My favourite time of the year, I think, in Melbourne is certainly autumn as we come into winter.
Oh, the leaves.
It's not just, I don't know, it's just there are warm days still, crisp. Or it seems like warm. Crisp, it's crisp, nights. But it's not freezing. And that's really the only season I like. I think spring, I suffer really badly from hay fever, so spring's bit of a no-no for me.
Yep.
Because I spend, you know, 3 months with puffy eyes and a stuffy nose. Summer I love because I grew up in heat and in dry heat in Mildura. And winter, whilst I don't hate it or love it, I have an ambivalent relationship with it. I love it because I can scarve up and jackets
and
vests and
layers
and the food. I just don't care for leaving the house. Like this morning, it was 1 degree and I had to get up because the dog had found itself a bird.
Oh, dear.
And decided, I threw a dead bird off the bed last night in the house and decided this morning it was going to get another bird. This little lazy gay Sebastian.
Oh, you see, Lola's completely nuts about birds, but she's not even going outside at the moment. She goes outside, has a quick little tinkle. I think she does it on the run, actually. I don't even think she stands still to do it. She just runs around the garden, let them fly, and then she comes straight back in the house under the doona.
So she's not a winter dog.
No, she's not. She likes the sun as much as I do.
Gosh. Well, I just think we're lucky to have seasons.
Well, I think we are as well.
Well, because in WA you don't have seasons. You have winter and you have summer. Mm. That's it.
I love
the seasons. I do, but I'm sorry, Melbourne, but winter, you're doing my head in.
It could be worse. We could be living in somewhere up in the far northern hemisphere where, you know, it's dark for 20 hours of the day.
Mm. And also
that would be the end of me. I'd need electric shock therapy.
Well, that can be arranged.
Where's that taser?
She's right off me tonight.
So, I don't know what you've done. Perhaps there
it's
was
popping her in the boot on the way over that just sort of got her a little bit antsy.
She didn't catch the bus.
I know. That's why she's not allowed on the bus anymore.
That's right. I forgot about that injunction that's still before the course. So the final word on winter, first of all, Serena.
It really sucks.
You don't care for it?
I don't care for winter at all. That is all.
Nani?
I don't mind it in the least. I'll just whack another jumper on. Carry on.
With that coat?
Not with this coat. This coat's going to be consigned.
Still
to
wearing it. That's terrible. This has been Salt and... it still is Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9. Send us a tweet to Salt and Pepper Joy. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you, Noni.
Thanks, Noni. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
God, that Noni's a bugger.
I'm concerned she's going to be off to take that coat to the Savers or something.
No, I think she's going to wear it for the rest of time just to annoy me.
Just to piss you off.
She's in good form tonight.
Oh, she is in very good form. I wonder if she might have had a glass of sherry.
I think she might have imbibed a little.
That's right, I had a glass of just a bit of a winter warmer red wine, which I shall be doing when I get my took us home. I can give you that, that information.
Indeed.
Now, we're going to start off the international news with a couple of good pieces of news that sort of involve IT and the social merger.
Yep.
Kick us off. Tell us about Microsoft first.
Microsoft founder and CEO have each donated $100,000 to support Washington State's marriage equality law that's being challenged by a referendum vote in November this year. Mm. So a couple of big fat checks from Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer were delivered to Washington United for Marriage on Friday. And Zach Wilk, who is part of that organisation, is sort of gushing and saying it's going to make a tremendous difference and it's very important to us to have a broad support from business leaders and business companies around the globe. So, look, it's really great news for these guys. It's $200,000 into their coffers.
It is. And, look, marriage equality law was signed and passed by Governor Christine Gregoire. We talked about that when it happened.
Gregoire.
Some months ago.
It's a really strange name, Gregoire.
Gregoire. But anti-gay activists, including the National Organisation for Marriage, have stepped in and to challenge the law. Referendum 74 was certified for the November ballot with 240,000 signatures gathered by anti-gay groups. So it'll go to a referendum. It will win. I'll put that money on it.
Let's hope so. Facebook.
Yeah, look.
The
Book of Face. It's social networking giant that it is and now public company has added two new icons to denote same-sex married couples for members of our great
Isn't that awesome?
Our great big family. Yeah, previously marriage was symbolised by a bride and groom icon, but now same-sex couples can choose either two brides or two grooms, which I like.
So
and
cute.
It sort of follows on from other inclusive changes, including the ability to choose civil unions or domestic partnerships as a relationship status rather than it's complicated. And good on Facebook for doing that. We're very, very pleased that they're forward thinking.
I think it's wonderful news. I'm not a believer in declaring my relationship status on Facebook, but I think for those people that feel like they need to do that, I think it's so lovely. Okay, look, less lovely is the need for an assembly committee in America who needs to approve a bill that's going to protect youth from dangerous sexual orientation conversion practices. So we know that this is a lot of the stuff that we did with John Becker around the Pray the Gay Away and ex-conversion clinics. So the California Assembly Business, Professions and Consumer Protection Committee.
It's a very large title.
Oh, it's an absolute gutful. Have today approved on a 5-2 Senate vote bill, which will ban mental health professionals from subjecting minors to dangerous and emotionally scarring practice of trying to change their sexual orientation. Absolute mouthful, but very important work.
So they're saying that sexual orientation change efforts pose critical health risks. We've talked about this before, including depression, shame, decreased self-esteem, social withdrawal, substance abuse, self-harm and suicide, a lot of psychological issues, particularly for minors. So what this says is there's now an assembly committee that's going to look after those young people and stop some of this conversion therapy
from happening. I just think that's great. Look, we've got a lot of international news to go to.
Yep. Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9 today. Salt and Pepper Joy on Twitter, or you can email salt and pepper at joy.org. I'm falling out of my own tongue.
Oh, gosh. Look, we're creeping up to, quarter of the hour. Look, let's talk about Texas. This is a disturbing news item that we've been following for the better part of about 6 days now. Mm. Two young girls, Molly Olgan and Mary Chapa, both 19 and 18 years old respectively, have been found shot in the head. So one is dead and the other is hospitalised. They were found in knee-deep grass at a park in Portland at 9 a.m. on Saturday. Sadly, Olgan died of her injuries, but Chapa was rushed to hospital for emergency surgery and she remains in a stable condition. So it's very, very sad news that these two young lovers have been shot.
Now, there's a question around whether this – they're trying to establish whether this is, in fact, a hate crime or not. One of their friends and a co-worker said she was surprised to hear the news. She'd not witnessed any aggression towards the two in the past. They've been together for 5 months. And it's quite disturbing that, the local area has been shocked. They haven't had a homicide in the area for 2 years.
Texas is on the record, though, as being one of the most anti-gay states in America. There's over 30 different areas within Texas alone that can just refuse you any type of service because you're gay.
And this is, of course, the home of the Bush family, Jeb Bush being former governor of Texas and George Bush, George W., as the governor of Texas. Between them, they authorized more killings than any other governors in history, so it's not a really nice place to be. Although there's parts of Texas that I really like.
I refuse to travel to Texas. I'm a conscientious objector to all things Texan because of their position on the gays.
Yes.
And I do wish, you know, the young girl that's still in hospital, Mary, we do wish her well. And she's got a big lot of grief to face when she comes out of this.
Now, Rachel Held Evans, who is a Christian writer, is concerned that there's going to be a renewed culture war over the issue of gay marriage and, in fact, alienating young Christians.
Oh.
What do you reckon?
Well, look, I wonder if she's got some point. She states that as the battle over gay marriage heats up in this election year, that the outspoken opposition to gay marriage amongst church leaders could alienate an entire generation of religious youth. So what she says is evangelicals have been so submitted to these culture wars for so long, it's hard to give up.
Mm.
The majority of Christians really want to stop with the political emphasis. I think she might be on the money.
Yeah, she herself is only 31 and she regularly speaks at Christian colleges. She said young Christians she meets are more open to gay rights than older generations. According to a survey that was done in 2011, nearly 70% of young Christians also agree that religious groups are alienating young people by being too judgmental about gay and lesbian issues. Said one person, you know, I said this author, for young Christians, having gay and lesbian friends is just a part of our life.
Isn't that lovely?
Mm.
Isn't that lovely indeed? So I think she's on the money. And I think she's very brave to name that because we know that Christian vitriol is, it's alive and well, despite it being a bit of an oxymoron. So there's an underground gay group which is emerging, shaking a Christian college
in a state
Wheaton.
That you formerly lived in.
I've lived in Illinois. There's a group of alumni known as One Wheaton. And they've coalesced in 2011 to express their support of gay and lesbians on campus. So, I think this is a really interesting group that's come through. They're looking for change to current for students to support them in a more nurturing environment, you know, in off the back of their disclosed sexuality, a safe place for them to process who they are and develop into who they want to be.
And this also involves, again, Rachel Held Evans, the author we just previously spoke about. She's saying that the American church's attitude towards gay rights will play an important role in the retention of young Christians. And she's also supporting this group. The conservative side aren't going to go away, says Matthew Anderson, who is another young Christian writer. They're just going to be a lot more careful in terms of how they frame their positions. I think this is great, this One Wheaton Society. It's sort of like a great big grown-up, gay-straight alliance that a lot of the high schools have in the US.
More news from the US. Now, the man that you've got a crush on, Anderson Cooper, has publicly declared his sexuality as being in the team gay.
Absolutely. Now, he's a CNN journalist and a presenter on American television. He's it's been a very quietly well-known secret, if you will, that Anderson is gay. And he has stated, and I quote, "The fact is, I'm gay, always have been, always will be, and I couldn't be any more happy, comfortable with myself or proud," he wrote in a letter to the Daily Beast. Now, he's the son of Gloria Vanderbilt, who herself is, she's a bit of a socialite, I guess you could call it, some very, very old money, the Vanderbilt family. He says, "I still consider myself a reserved person, and I hope that this doesn't mean an end to the small amount of personal space that I have. I do think visibility is important, more important than preserving my reporter's shield of privacy." CNN chose not to comment and said that Cooper was on assignment. I'm very thrilled that quietly he's stated his place.
I think you and I probably have different positions on this, and my position is not fixed in any way, shape or form, but I don't really see the value of what he's done other than for himself. I feel that if you're in the public eye, then the public doesn't have any right to know too much about you in your private life.
True, but I think by virtue of being in the public eye, there is a certain demand for the public to know about your private life. I don't say that I agree with that, but it's there.
Yeah, I know that there's a demand there, but how much do you give? And I guess that's where you and I'm quite pathologically private, and I think you're probably more open than I am about a lot of stuff, and that's just how I am.
Yep.
And I... I really respect that he's done this, and I think it's, you know, more and more people that do it, you know, it just repositions what is normal. And I
exactly.
get that, and I think that's good.
Yeah, look, he's very, very highly regarded. He's a brilliant journalist and somebody who I admire for his journalistic integrity. So in that sense, for somebody who is an anchor on American television, it's very, very rare that you'll find somebody who is openly gay as a news or TV anchor in
the
US.
And that's more about the culture of news and television, because that's the case here as well,
for sure.
I think.
But, you know, we've got Anton Enos, we've got Peter Hitchener. You know, there's been a number of openly gay and for some time openly gay presenters on Australian news broadcasts. So I don't know how it shapes anything too much. I've always had a crush.
Yeah, and now you can absolutely go with that.
Okay.
Good on him. Good on him. I hope that, you know, wish him safe passage. Okay, look, London Pride.
Had a great big elaborate Jubilee celebration.
Of course they did.
Of course.
The Queen's Day.
And all systems are go for the Olympics. But, well, unfortunately, the purse
They've run out of money.
The purse is empty.
So they've got a week to go. The organisation of the organisers of this massive annual festival confirmed a bit of a funding shortfall, and they've had to scale back the schedule of events
To the point where it's now on foot. Cars and
what
folks,
was it before? Flying carpet?
Well, no. Cars and folks are suddenly told they can't take part. You probably can't come in on your donkey neither. So it'll all be on foot. A bit more distressing news this time from Morocco. A gay cruise, an RSVP vacations travel agency, which specialises in organising tourist trips for its gay and lesbian customers, the cruise ship called into Morocco, and it was prohibited from making its scheduled port of call in Casablanca. Morocco, again, a very predominantly Muslim country, and wouldn't allow this 1,564 passengers and 870 crew in. So they've had to go on to Spain, which is
I holidayed in Morocco with a partner, and we had one night in Casablanca, and we were forced into separate rooms.
Casablanca.
You couldn't pay me to go back there. No. We were just travelling down to Marrakesh, but, yeah, we couldn't get the same room.
And I think our final story has to be, I think, one of the best stories to come out of the news this week. France's new socialist government is to legalise marriage and adoption rights for same-sex couples. Prime Minister Jean-Marc Ayrault said on Friday, reflecting a shift in the public attitudes, the newly elected socialist president, François Hollande, has pledged to legalise gay marriage and adoption during his campaign, but given it no time frame. But we now have a time
loving
frame.
Loving the French.
Probably
loving
in the next couple
completely.
Of months. So it is a fantastic news.
A lot of news tonight. Have we got some messages to go to and then come out for the
we
Donald?
We do. We'll come back with the Donald very, very shortly. It's
Sounds
just about
good.
5 to 12.
Ooh. Prince of God, the bigger man of faith. Play
the game with every blow you bring. Joy 94.9.
Time for the Donald, Pete Dillon. Who are the nominees for our Tool of the Week?
Well, the first one clearly goes to the city of Casablanca, the country of Morocco. So I think just the Moroccans. Yeah, the second, I was going to suggest that we give it to Campbell Newman. We've awarded him in the past, but I think Jared Blagey, who is the Attorney General of Queensland, who I think is driving a lot of this anti-GLBT stuff, his name seems to pop up a lot. So he's our second nominee. And our third nominee is Tony Abbott, after talking to Jenny Macklin, him preventing what has been historically Liberal position on conscience votes. So they are your three nominees, two members of the Liberal Party, one state, one federal, and Morocco.
Oh, gosh, it's a very hard call tonight, but I'd like to give it to the Attorney General of Queensland because
he's an arse.
And, you know, he's taking Queensland back to before Joe Bjelke-Petersen's time, and that's a big call. I think what they're doing to same-sex couples and repealing civil unions and the surrogacy laws, not just for us but for singles and heteros, look, I think it's a sad and sorry state of affairs. So it's with some pride that I offer this
Jared
week's Donald Award to him. He is our Tool of the Week.
He is. We'll finish with our usual song. You'll get a little bit of afternoon delight before we trot off to the Magna.
Indeed.
What are we having on the way home?
I think we might get an ice cream.
Okay. We might have a gay time on the way home.
Oh, gay time. Go gaily forward. Thank you, Matt, for panelling for us tonight.
Thank
you, everyone, for listening. And keep emailing and sending your tweets. We love to hear from you.
We'll be back next week. This has been Salt and Pepper. Good night.
Good night. Perhaps an afternoon delight.
My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.